Well, if you're walking around Chinatown this weekend, you will be seeing a selection of unique creations. Pride in Chinatown launches this weekend. Now, this year, it's a month-long street exhibition featuring art installations and performances. The artwork will be exploring queer Pan-Asian identities and experiences in BC. Now, tell us more about it. We're joined by two guests this morning. Paul Wong is the artistic director and curator for Pride in Chinatown. And Kendall Yan, a.k.a. Made in China, is an intersectional feminist drag artist whose art will be on display as well. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Hello, hello, hello.
Good morning. Happy Friday to both of you. This is, you have been able to adapt here relatively quickly, given the restrictions that you're under this year for Pride in Chinatown. And this year, the theme is the absence of LGBTQ plus histories in our Chinatowns. Tell me more about that one, Paul.
Well, this is the third year that we've done Pride in Chinatown. The two previous years were kind of spectacular events at the Dr. Sun Yat-sen Gardens, which really featured a lot of live performances and immersive theater and kiosk and, you know, gatherings of, you know, hundreds of people at a time. And obviously this year, we couldn't grow that concept. So, you know, we had to quickly kind of adapt to what can we do to have a presence in the world, in Chinatown, on the streets. And we thought, you know, we could do a series of street installations, storefronts, doors, hoardings, to present visual art that anyone can come down and see 24/7 with physical distancing and in small groups. So that's kind of what has happened. So we have like 9 projects scattered throughout Chinatown.
Hmm. Okay. And how will people know when and where those events are taking place, Paul?
There, if you go to our website, prideinchinatown.com, there is a map, a street map, a touring map that you can see and know where each of the 9 projects are.
Hmm. And Kendall, for you, what are you hearing from others in your community about the upcoming event?
I've been hearing very positive things, I think mostly because a lot of the people that I know personally in the community are queer or queer adjacent and quite good allies. I have had a little bit of a run around with my original intention for my display.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, I wanted to display all of my photos together in some sort of configuration on a business front, and I approached 3 businesses that I had a physical connection with just because of where my studio was located in Chinatown. And the response was less than ideal or not at all, and I was avoided quite a bit. So I've changed. Paul gave me the idea to change up the idea and change up the way we're going about it. And now the photos are going to be displayed around Chinatown sort of as renegade posters. As you come upon them, kind of.
And Kendall, did that surprise you when you approached businesses and asked to use a storefront and they said no?
It didn't surprise me, but it disappointed me. I think that people are very hesitant to give space that's very visible and in the fear that someone is going to vandalize their business. And I think that is a very homophobic thing in and of itself.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, that's a sad statement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was very disappointing just because I really did not want to claim that I was entitled to the space, mm-hmm. but being queer and Chinese, working and living in Chinatown, and having a connection through my family lineage through Chinatown. My grandfather used to own a gift shop that's not far from my home now.
Wow.
It just felt that I really wanted it to be a place that was connected to my path here as I am now. But I've realized that the entire community, the entire physical space is part of that.
Paul, I'm interested in your thoughts on that.
Well, you know, this particular series, Quarantine, by Made in China, was really the first work that I selected.
Mm-hmm.
This was a series of 41 self-portraits of Kendo did daily from the get start of our lockdown stay at home, going into these drag personas and makeup and outfits. And they did these for Instagram. Every single day I would see these.
Mm-hmm.
And it went on and on and on. And it was really quite amazing to see this kind of calendar. One of our projects that we're doing is we've created a series of Welcome Pride in China stickers in Chinese and English
mm-hmm.
that we have been canvassing and asking each business association or community service to put on their doorways or in their windows. And we've got a couple of volunteers going out daily this week visiting each business to get them to put these stickers. So the reluctance to do that, the positive encouragement to do that, the blatant no's, we don't want that in our windows, has been a really interesting analytics. It's been an interesting way to see the kind of embracing or resistance to being queer out loud and proud in Chinatown.
And why do you think that is, Paul?
You know, Chinatown has been segregated through discrimination and racism and fear. So the Chinatown has evolved from being very conservative
mm-hmm.
and being very repressed and very quiet and homophobic.
Kendall, tell us more about, let me just back up a moment, Paul, because I want to ask you then, that decision then, I mean, a lot of festivals and events have decided to do online versions of themselves. It's obviously very important to you to keep this visible and physically in Chinatown.
You know, the whole idea of Pride in Chinatown was to have a presence. And actually, I think even this year, it's even more powerful. Instead of one grand, spectacular event, which is very specialized and attracts, you know, a very clear, obvious crowd, to actually take over street windows, hoarding, signposts, utility boxes, the Millennium Chinatown Gate for a month, actually even has a stronger, more vibrant presence because it's really everywhere. And we are everywhere.
And Kendall, you will be everywhere because your posters are going to be everywhere.
Yes, exactly. That's the idea. And it's very, very pleasing for my ego.
But is that in the end, I mean, rather than putting everything up in one storefront that, you know, people have to go stand in front of, I guess it's a different kind of installation if you're postering the entire neighborhood.
Yeah, I mean, I think the series was originally posted for Instagram. And it's interesting because being a stage performer,
mm-hmm.
in, like, ideally, that's kind of where I've always done this practice the most. When I had started to post specifically for Instagram, it gave me a lot of freedom because there are certain things you can do on camera that you can't do on stage.
Right.
And then it made me think, you know, as I was approaching the end of the series, that it was really kind of a shame that everything was dealing and, like, specifically catered to just, you know, your phone screen, because it's so disposable and so, like, consumable. And something with that, about that, like, it's obviously a double-edged sword. It is able to be accessed by most people with mm-hmm. you know, a phone. So in this way, it's sort of like I've set them up and I've arranged them individually with their tags from the original Instagram posts. So there's sort of this physical digital collaboration, I think, that happens when it just pops up right in front of you physically. So sort of taking you out of your phone, but still the same sort of interface, I guess, as
yeah.
seeing it on the street. Yeah.
It's great to talk with both of you this morning. Thank you for taking the time with us. And I walk through Chinatown an awful lot, so I'll be looking out for all of it. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right. You take care. Paul Wong.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.